Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with
Holly Twyford,
who stars in A Little Night Music at the great Signature Theater over in Shirlington from August 15th to October 8th. Holly, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much, Jason. Pleasure to be here.
Be here again. Last time we saw you, you were the Martha of Georgia Martha in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf at Ford.
I was.
And you were fantastic.
Thank you so much.
But you said before we got on here, you don't typically do musicals.
Yeah. Did I say typically? Because what I meant was ever.
Ever, never has ever done
it. Ever. I mean, there was, in some ways, I'll be looked at Virginia Woolf as an opera. Mm-hmm. He said that about it a couple times. And so there was something sort of operatic about that character. Right. But this actually has songs in it. So yes, it's different. This is not something that is in my comfort zone, really.
But that's good. You got to push yourself.
Absolutely. That's why I'm doing it.
If anyone can do it, I know you can. All right, before we dive too much in and make this about Virginia Woolf entirely, let's turn to A Little Night Music. Remind our listeners the basic premise here.
Stephen Sondheim and Hugh Wheeler based this on a movie called Smiles of a Summer Night.
Ingmar Bergman.
That's exactly right.
I think it was like 3 years before Seventh Seal and Wild Strawberries. I believe they were 57.
I don't know. I mean, it was obviously his most well-known, I think, most popular, which surprised him, evidently. I don't know even how to describe it. I mean, it is a love story on several levels. At one point in the beginning, the grandmother says to her granddaughter, my daughter, she says, the knight is going to smile three times. And so then over the course of the play, you sort of see when that happens and when it smiles for the fools, which is Desiree and Frederick. Mm-hmm. It's people trying to find their way as we all do in life, yeah. Always. Right.
Yeah.
I'd never read the book to the musical. I'd only heard the music. I read the whole play, and it is an amazing story. I mean, it's gorgeous.
Yeah. Explain to our listeners who your character.
So my character is Desiree Armfelt. She's an actress who tours most of the time, and her daughter is growing up with her mother in her country house. Desiree has sort of never settled down and never found the right person, or she did find the right person, but somehow she let him go years before. This is hopefully the night will smile on her and she will figure out what she needs and what she wants.
Awesome. If any of our listeners have seen the Bergman film, how does this differ? Do you know? Or have you not seen it?
You know, it's the dialogue is really similar in many ways. There are things that are slightly different. She doesn't have a daughter. She has a son. There are not many differences. Now I'm trying
other
to think
than
of
the musical.
Others. Yeah. I mean, other than the songs, although there is a part where she sings a song in it. Yeah. It's a comedy, with a lot of heart. And I think that in that way, A Little Night Music is very true to that story.
Well, we go into a little bit of the type of comedy it is, because there's many types of comedy, and you nailed a certain kind in Virginia Woolf, which I was cracking up. But explain sort of this, I guess, slant on it.
Right. I don't know if there's a name for it. I mean, I guess it's a sort of got ironic comedy in it. There are parts that are not easy to watch, I think, because they're sad, and there are parts that will be frustrating in the world of, oh, come on, you know this is what needs to happen. Why can't you figure that out for yourself? And things like that. But there's, you know, you cannot have a Stephen Sondheim lyrics without some fantastic comedy. And some of that is just the words are funny. Yeah. It's also true of the dialogue, of Hugh Wheeler's dialogue. There are some sort of farcical aspects to it. You know, this lover's coming in from the bedroom and this lover's walking in the front door and he's got the robe on, you know, I mean, So things like that are a kick.
You mentioned, I want to go into the Sondheim music in a little bit, but first you just piqued my interest with what you were saying about coming from the different bedrooms and the robe even.
Right.
Let's go into sort of the visuals then of how it's laid out on set with the rooms you're saying, and even, I guess, some of the costuming with the robe and stuff like that.
I mean, there are not, there are not actual rooms on stage. That's hard to do.
Just coming from different
especially,
wings of the stage.
Exactly. Yeah. There are two different, you know, VOMs that are coming from the audience. You know, it's in the beautiful Max Theater at mm-hmm. Signature, which is this great, big, beautiful space. And with an amazing set, which I've seen parts of and I've seen pictures of by
right,
the
you're
fabulous
not open yet. Yeah, yeah.
Paul DePoux. So I think I'm excited to see the finished product. I think there are going to be trees with a nod to Sweden and beautifully backlit. And then, of course, the sort of facade of my mother's mansion out in the country. It's going to be quite sweeping, I think.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. Take me. All right. Now let's go into the music. You mentioned the Sondheim lyrics. Remind us some of the songs, if you know, because it's, I guess it was acclaimed on Broadway back in what, like, the, was it the 70s, I think?
It was in 1973, okay. And it was not just acclaimed. It won several Tony Awards, yeah.
including
Best
Musical. Yeah.
So really a massive hit.
But let's say our listeners, they've been rattling around in their brains for the past few decades, but remind them some of the numbers.
Well, so some of the, it's funny. So I grew up listening to this record when it was a record.
Oh, on vinyl. You had it.
My mother had it and we listened to it over and over. And so it's hard for me to pin down one song. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, the first one that would come to mind would actually be Weekend in the Country, mm-hmm. which is this incredible final number in the first act. And it's the entire ensemble. And it's this fabulous, you know, bit about some people got an invitation to come to my mother's house and some people didn't, but they're still going to go because it's my lover and he's jealous and the wives don't want to go. And it's... It's fabulous and hilarious.
All right before intermission.
Exactly. Right. Yes, exactly. And right. So what's going to happen?
Right.
Good God. What hijinks will ensue?
Right. Poses
out in the
all
country.
This,
yeah. And then, of course, the most well-known song is Send in the Clowns, which was, I believe, Stephen Sondheim's most recorded song. Ever.
Was it Judy Collins did a version? Or
oh, you
a
name
bunch
it.
Of people.
You
yeah.
name it. I mean, I think that we decided the first recording was Frank Sinatra.
Was it really?
After the original production came out. And then, you know, Judy Collins, Barbara Streisand, Krusty the Clown, I was reminded, that famous that famous pop vocalist from
yeah, I mean,
The Simpsons.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, his career really took off.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
him
yeah.
and Sideshow Bob. You
exactly,
know.
Really. So, yeah, it's an amazing song and really quite quite beautiful and quite moving. And there's a reason Barbara Streisand would pick a song like that to do.
Right.
It's exciting and daunting, you know.
Those are probably the two most famous ones, as mm-hmm. you would agree. Is there a hidden gem, underrated one that either you get to do or you get to watch your co-stars do?
Oh, there's a lot of hidden gems.
Yeah, but I gotta
pick
one.
There's the Miller's Son that Petra sings. Yeah. There's Every Day a Little Death that Charlotte and Charlotte and Anne sing together about the trials and tribulations of marriage and the things that we sometimes give up and how hard things can be. And it's just gorgeous. You know, I mean, listen, I've been waiting for years to share the stage with Tracy Lynn Oliveira and Bobby Smith. And I'm finally doing that, but I'm also getting to watch them in rehearsal, and it's a little bit of a masterclass is what it is, but it's also just so beautiful to listen to them.
You mentioned Tracy and Bobby. Go into each of them a little bit, you know, embarrass them. If they're listening back on this, you know, make them blush a little bit.
I mean, you know, they can, what they can do with their voices, the way that they can, you know, for me, the highest praise is how they act a song. Mm. Because that's what's important to, you know, it's one thing to sing the notes right. And there's a lot of people that can sing things quite beautifully. And they can do that, but they can do more than that. I mean,
I love that phrase.
I mean, that's true. You know, if you missed Tracy in Ragtime, you missed something beautiful, and Bobby just did Titanic, and it's just something, it just makes the story even more, you know? So I get to see that every day.
Masterclass, you said. That's exactly. Great. And for someone you said who'd never done a musical, so you probably get to, you notice the acting, the song probably.
Oh, absolutely.
More.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Because, that's my way in.
Right.
Also, you know, the really difficult part for me is the music. And, you know, I was joking yesterday when we were rehearsing one particular thing, and our accompanist is this fabulous young guy. You know, he's playing the piano while I'm speaking. And I'm like, why are you still? I'm talking here. But of course, that's how it works. And there's an underscore that's going to begin and then a song. Right. And I have to sort of train my brain to do something a little different. So it's hopefully I'm not frustrating everyone too much, but yeah,
that's awesome.
It's an education.
You've seen Signature grow in all of its iterations over the years.
Absolutely.
You know, now that you've gotten to this point in 2017 at Signature, why do you love it so much?
Why do I love Signature so much?
Yeah, I want you to talk about Signature a little bit here.
I mean, you know, listen, it's funny. Eric was saying the other day, he was talking about being there for 28 years, and he didn't expect to do that. And he expected to be there, I think, 10 or something, and then move on. But what he has done by being there 28 years is to just make this theater grow and evolve like nothing I've ever seen. I mean, it's amazing. You know, it has become a bit of a benchmark for Sondheim musicals, you know, which is a huge thing, and very exciting. And watching him specifically work with Sondheim is fascinating. And again, more of an education. But he's also opened up this other side, which I've been more a part of, obviously, when I did Sex with Strangers there, and I did The Little Dog Laughed, and these straight plays that sort of beautifully complement the other part that Signature is sort of mostly known for. And so it's just been great to see it evolve and to see the actors grow as well. It's always fun. You know?
Awesome. Well, no, it's a wonderful theater. So we love when you guys can come in.
Absolutely.
I always like to close out with a simple question. If our listeners heard this, why should they come?
Why should they
come? Why should they come?
The real question, Jason, is why should they not come?
That's how I toy for an answer.
I mean, it is a beautiful story. It's got beautiful music that soars to the highest of highs and the lowest of lows, and it just will take you to so many places. And you know, there's a reason my mother and I listen to it over and over again. And it's beautiful, and the ensemble is an incredibly group of talented people, and so they should come to see a great story told with great talent.
Awesome. I appreciate you coming in.
Okay,
again, always,
pleasure.
Every time.
My
a little
pleasure.
Night Music, Signature Theater, August 15th through October 8th. Thanks, Holly.
Thank you so much.